Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for Scripture. I just want to pray for Brian as he reads it to us. And just pray, Lord, that when I preach in a moment, Lord, that you would speak to us powerfully. In Jesus' name, amen.
The first reading is from Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. So it's the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. I'm reading verse 14 to the end. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And the second reading is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verse 16, to the very end of his book. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Amen.
Thank you, Brian. Well, it's such an encouragement to have to recast the vision each year. Now, it's not just because, as Rick Warren says, vision leaks. We forget what we're about. But it's also because there's so many new faces in the church. And so it's important that we're all reminded of what we are about. We're also told in the book of Proverbs that without a vision, the people perish. And I'm sure nobody here wants to perish. And this year I've been led to this well-known passage in Ephesians. It is the most glorious prayer, and one that whenever I give someone a Bible, if I have a chance, I like to be able to write it in the front of the Bible. Paul prays that out of Christ's glorious riches, we may be strengthened with power through his Spirit, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith. I always remind people that when they come to faith in Christ, when they make a decision for Christ, he comes to dwell in their hearts. And being honest, it's an almost unimaginable concept to get our heads around. The Creator God coming to live in our hearts. The God that put every star in its place, that created the heavens and the earth and the moons and everything else like that, living in our hearts. But Paul knows how hard this is to grasp. So he prays that we could grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses all knowledge. Doesn't matter how bright you are, how many degrees you are, how many PhDs you have, we cannot get our heads round the love that surpasses all this knowledge. And the weird thing is, the irony is, it's actually quite easy to forget. Because in times of doubt and disillusionment and despair and depression, we can forget that. But we must remember how much Christ loves us and respond accordingly. Yesterday, Jacob Wigley, those of you who are regulars here will know who Jacob is. He got married here in church. And I was thinking it would be very weird if you were married to somebody who did not respond to your love. It would make a successful marriage quite a challenge, I would say. But today's key verse is that is now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Paul says that Christ is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or can even imagine. We need to think about that for a moment. How big are our prayers? I suspect that subconsciously, sometimes we hold back from asking, from praying big prayers because we think, oh, you know, it's a little bit too big for the Lord. I think we just need to tone it down a little bit. Perhaps we don't have the faith that he can answer the big ones. But here we're told Christ is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. So we need to pray big, we need to hope big, and we need to have a big vision, a vision that is so big that we can't possibly do it in our own strength, and we have no option other than to rely on the Holy Spirit to enable us to achieve it, because his power is what is at work within us. Now, it's easy for us to go through life forgetting that it is his power that is at work in us. So why is it so important to remember this? Well, making disciples of all nations, flipping to the Matthew reading, fulfilling the Great Commission, making disciples of all nations and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey Jesus' commands, is not an easy job. It's not a job we can do even remotely well in our own strength. It's in fact really hard work that requires every ounce of the Holy Spirit's power to enable us to do. And it isn't just hard work, there's opposition. Sometimes there's practical opposition, sometimes it's physical opposition, and a lot of the time it's spiritual opposition. So we need to be clear about the truth, God's word, and we need to be united around the gospel, and we need to be fervent in prayer. So how do we here at BPC seek to go about fulfilling the Great Commission? Well, in a sense, all churches should have the Great Commission as their mission statement. The church exists for mission. I mean, for example, we support different mission agencies, we support people involved in mission. But if you were to take a step back, the truth is the church is God's mission agency. That's what we're here for. We're not just here to enjoy the music and a good talk and a nice building and each other's company and all the rest of it. We exist for mission, and the mission is the Great Commission, making disciples of all nations. As Michael Gregg, many of you will remember, dear Michael, he always used to exhort me, "Will, we are to be a community of disciple-making disciples." And it's a little bit of a mouthful, that, but in essence, that challenges Christian consumerism. You see, it's a bit of an obvious trap to fall into, to think that once you become a Christian, that's it. You can sit back and relax. I'm saved. I know where I'm going. I have the assurance of where I'm going. God loves me and he's forgiven my sins. Well, in a sense, that decision to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior is an absolutely crucial, it's a critical one. And after we do that, we repent of our sins. And if we haven't already been baptized, we get baptized. And once we're baptized and we've done those things, we are set apart. We're called out from the world And we're part of God's big family. But it doesn't stop there. In fact, it's only the start of a lifelong journey of discipleship, a journey of faith, a journey of obedience, and a journey of service. A disciple, which is what a believer is, isn't passive. Okay, they're not passive. A lot of big churches can, it's difficult for them because they've got so many hundreds, perhaps even thousands of people going. It's difficult to keep track on everybody. But it's easy to go and do an alpha course to pray the prayer, hallelujah, I'm saved, I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Great, job done. Now let's, I'll go to some Christian conferences. I'll come to church now and again and enjoy the music. And, you know, I'll go to church when so-and-so's preaching because they're really good, you know. That's consumerism. That is not what being a believer is about. That's not being a disciple at all. And so we have to be focused on this journey of faith being about making an impact, making a difference to the kingdom of God. In other words, making other disciples, introducing other people to Jesus Christ. So at BPC, in order to be a community of disciple-making disciples, we do three things, and I know they're quite simplistic, but you know this, those of you who've been around a while, it's through worshiping God, making friends, and changing the world. And let me unpack those three things. So worshiping God. Now, our worship, I know, is much more than what goes on a Sunday. Okay, I completely get that. But Sundays are still important. Okay, imagine the metaphor of a plug that needs charging up, you know, I don't know, your power bank or something like that, and you plug it into all. Sundays is where we come to get plugged in. Now, I don't know about you, but even as an introvert, I'm excited when I see you all. I am encouraged when I see you all. Somebody you haven't seen all summer, I had a chat with her on the way into church. That was an encouragement. It's like a member of the church family that I have seen, and we've reconnected and we've checked in with each other. This is what we do on Sundays. We come together not to consume, but to praise and worship the risen Lord Jesus Christ. You may have seen in the newspapers, there was, you know, the Women's World Cup, poor old Bishop Libby Lane was misquoted and taken out of context. And there was this great furore about, because apparently the C of E said it was fine to miss church because the football was more important. It's not what she said. But some people were kind of thinking like that. And actually, nothing should be more important than coming together to worship Jesus Christ, because we must never forget what he has done for us. He's given his life for us. It's only right that we should want to come to church. It shouldn't matter who's preaching. It shouldn't matter who's leading worship. None of that should matter. We come. We come into God's house to be his called out people. We come to praise his name, sing his glory, to gather around the Lord's table, and to encourage one another. And the fellowship is diminished when you are not here. Sometimes, one of my kids, I'm not going to say which one of my kids might say to me, Dad, I really don't want to go to church tonight. I have to explain to him that, okay, I have to explain to them that just because their friend might not be there that Sunday evening, others in the youth group will be looking forward to seeing them. It's not just consumerism. It's not just about what we want or what we like. You, by coming to church, you make this a much better place because you are here. The fellowship is diminished when you're not here. And we come because Christ's sacrifice on the cross deserves our thanksgiving and praise. Sunday worship was, is, and always be a crucial part of our walk as disciples. You know that old story about somebody, I think it was John Stott, went to see somebody who hadn't been to church for a while, and he sat down. They sat down in front of an old cold fire. He went to see why this gentleman had not been at church for ages, and he said nothing. And after a while, he reached out and got some tongs, and he picked up a lump of red-hot burning coal, and he put it on the hearth, and they just watched it go out. And the man looked at John Stott and just nodded. And the following Sunday, he was back at church, because when they put that lump of coal that had gone out back into the fire, guess what? It burst back into flames again. This is what happens when we don't come to church. So we place a priority on church. The persecuted church takes attending very seriously. Those of you who've been around a while will remember after my trip to Baghdad, I came back humbled by the people who drive to and from St. Andrew's Church in Baghdad, knowing that they run the gauntlet of being stopped by the militia, abducted, and murdered because they have been to church. But they still go, because they can't imagine not going to church. So we need to take things seriously. And we take things seriously. We strive to make our services as good as possible. Great fellowship, great coffee. Hopefully you've had a good welcome. We have people watching online, some of whom are in Florida. Indeed, I've had an invitation to use somebody's condo in whatever a condo is in Miami whenever I feel like it, because they love the service that they watch so much. And we strive for consistency. And this is terribly important, because consistency means that when you decide to invite somebody to church, not if you decide to invite somebody to church, when you decide to invite some friends along to church, you know what you're going to get. You know, it's not going to be a raffle in terms of quality and content and stuff like that. You know what we offer here at the 6 p.m. is consistent. And we're blessed with a great worship team, great production team, a welcome team, a hospitality team. You know everybody, and they pour themselves out, not just cups of tea, they pour themselves out. But part of our worship is also our giving, our generosity, whether it's giving of money, giving of our service. That's a really important part. We need so many helpers on a Sunday to make things happen. The kids group, the youth group. We need to try and get some more helpers in the youth group to try and split some of the group, so we don't have, like 12-year-old very cerebral girls in the same group as 16-year-old boys who just want to play football. You know, that's not a great mix. But if we're going to multiply the groups, we need more people to help. Ali needs more people on production, and so on and so forth. And you've seen the tube map, which you should all have been given when you come in. And I'd love it. I've left it down there by mistake. So I hope you all got one of those. I do need to update it, but it can show you what's going on. So that leads me into making friends. And so I want you to imagine people start coming to church. You all went to church for the first time. It makes such a difference when there's someone in church who's welcoming you, who says to you, not just, welcome, here's a Bible type of thing, but, hi, nice to see you again. How are you? How was your week? Do you remember last time we spoke, you told me that you were doing X, Y, and Z. How did that go? This is called friendship. This is taking an interest in other people's lives. And we need to, pursuing this analogy so that we've plugged in this thing into the socket and it's now charging up. This is what making friends does. Because you're only going to feel a sense of belonging in a church if you start to develop some friendships. friends to encourage you, friends to well be, just to be friends, because we are part of the church. And the Greek word we get the word church from, ecclesia, literally means to be called out. It's a group of people who are called out. We are called out from the world to be God's holy and chosen people, dearly loved. And there's a social aspect of coming to church, which is why we have parties. And which is why I really want you to sign up to come to this party on the 16th. I want to have fun with you guys. I want to hang out with you guys. I hope it's the same thing between you all. Let's just not come to church and just sit there and then leave without speaking to anybody. Let's have a party. We have shared lunches. We have barbecues. We have refreshments after the services. I love the problem I have sometimes when there's so many people chatting over cups of tea and coffee at the end of a service, I actually have to tell them to shut up and leave the church because I'm locking up. It's wonderful when that happens. Well, I mean, you know what I mean. I don't like people telling people to shut up. But the core thing about the making friends is also our connect groups. You can call them home groups, fellowship groups, house groups, whatever you want to call it. We call them connect groups. We have over 20 meeting, and really the aim of these groups is they meet to pray together, to study the Bible, some Bible study, and to deepen friendships and look out for one another. And connect groups are the front line of our pastoral care. Occasionally, I will have someone who will speak to me or send me an email saying, Will, I'm really disappointed in your church. I've not been to church for 2 months, and nobody has followed up on me. Nobody has checked in to see how I am. So I say, oh my goodness me, my brain is whizzing, you know. Oh, I'm so sorry we've fallen short like that. My first question is, which connect group are you in? And 9 times out of 10, I'm not in a connect group. And I say, we have between 300 and 400 people coming on a Sunday, and you expect me to notice if one person is missing. I can't do that. Unless we install some facial recognition software on the doors, and I think some American churches have it, there's no way I can hope to do that. That's why we have the connect groups. You're supposed to look out for one another. If you've got a problem, you let your connect group leader know you have a problem, and they will sort it out. And if they can't sort it out, they will let the system know, and we will help. So they are really important. Jo is here, although she's on leave. But on another time, if you're interested in joining connect group, you can speak to Jo. They're run by Keith and Mandy Hagen, and they're geographically dispersed. They run at different times, different days, different frequencies. So there should be one that fits you. So the third one is changing the world. So using the analogy of plugging in, getting charged up, we're now talking about getting sent out to make a difference, to make an impact, and to show others the love of Christ. And the parish church, no one would be heard saying, what happened to them? If BPC ceased to exist, I'd want there to be a massive hole in the community. If you want to pay me the ultimate hurtful insult, just say to me, your church, Will, is irrelevant. Okay? Because we are not irrelevant. This is a massive area. Just look at your tube maps. We are making such a difference out there. We have the center running from Verney Close. We run the food bank from there. We run all sorts of tea and coffee mornings where people can drop in who are lonely and have a chat. I was just talking to somebody today, and they've invited friends along, and they really, really enjoy it, and it's a touch point in their week because they're lonely. It's such an important thing, our mission down at the center. We then have the community lunch every Tuesday. We do a free 3-course meal here for between sort of 50 and 90 people. This whole building is turned into a restaurant. This is why we have chairs that don't have material covering on them, because, you know, there's foods being served, they're difficult to clean. It's so exciting seeing that, and seeing the minibus driving around town, and somebody missed the minibus, and they said, I want to help get a new minibus. I said, thank you so much. I'm delighted for any help. And so they made a generous gift. Then one stipulation was the logo was as big as possible on the side of the minibus. So everyone knew that it's this church who's driving around picking up people to bring them to the community lunch. We do the Ark. We're doing a marriage course next term. I'm so excited about that. We hate it when Christian marriages go down the plug hole. You know, think about it. Do it next term. Okay? It's not for problem marriages. It's like an MOT. You take your car for a service every year. Why not your marriage? Way more important than your car. We run the Energize thing. There's so much stuff. We support the overseas mission partners. We support the persecuted church and our partner church in Bradford, where we're enjoying such a good relationship of mutual flourishing. Now, of course, we also change the world and make new disciples through Alpha, through direct mission. And I'm delighted that we're going to run a couple of courses this term. I'm up for running a course in the evening if anyone wants to do it or help me do one. And we could then that could be three Alpha courses as we seek to grow the kingdom of God and lead people to faith in Christ. And this term, for the first time in many years, we're going to be running a bereavement course. You'll be aware so many people have been widowed or been made widowers. And so we're running a bereavement course. And I guess the other thing in changing the world, and I know I say this, but that, you know, every year I'm going to say it again. I do have this vision for a church school. Whether it's a school that's run very much on Christian lines or a church school like a C of E school. I'm not an ardent fan of the C of E at the moment, and actually just starting our own school with a really strong Christian ethos might be the best way ahead. I'm so excited. I would love us to be able to do that. And I don't think it's a coincidence that we have the University Vice Chancellor, James Tooley, worships at our 9 a.m. congregation. He's sitting on 11 acres of prime development land on the Tingic Road. And he said, "Will, I'd be very happy to build something there and you can rent the building to run your school in." That's a great option, isn't it? A great option. And he's also an academic entrepreneur. He's started up over 50 schools around the world, including one in the UK. So he's no slouch on this. So that was something I would love to do. That's like more of a legacy thing for me. I want to have that done by the time I retire. Okay, you've got that? You're going to help me do that? Thank you. And we do all these things to play our part in the evangelization of the nation, the revitalization of the church, and the transformation of our society. We're doing so many good things. I know so many of you are involved in that, and I'm incredibly grateful to you all. Keep it up. Because if we keep it up, we will get it right, and we will be able to be a church that is fully engaged, open and accessible, a church with no gaps that people can fall through, for all ages, ranging from the very young through to the children, to youth, to the elderly, from all social backgrounds, without any barriers to the poor and the needy, and a church that is focused on mission. A focus on leading people, introducing them to the person of Jesus Christ, and in doing so, growing the kingdom of God. And we will be a church that is unashamed of Jesus Christ. We'll be a church that is unashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of salvation for all those that believe. We will be confident in the power of the Holy Spirit to transform lives. We will be bold in proclaiming the gospel. We will be prayerful. We will be a safe space for people to come, and we'll be a church known for its love. And it will also be a church that is noisy with the noise of children and the mess of life, filled with the laughter of children, the noise of people clearing away plates after meals and people singing their praises to God, the joyful calling of bells and the warmth of spoken fellowship. And by the grace of God, Christ's bride, the church, will no longer, will not be, will never be what the cynics outside think of Christianity as, which is irrelevant, which is boring, which is dying, and which is a historic relic. We will never be like that under my watch. And instead, we will be a place of transformation and new life. An oasis of hope in a sea of hopelessness. A place where people who are held by the shackles of fear and addiction can find freedom and be set free. A haven of peace in a world that clamors for our very souls at the altar of greed, confusion, envy, and selfish ambition. And a place where there is physical healing as well as spiritual healing. I had a lovely testimony from someone at the 9 a.m., a lady who's been struggling with cancer. I'm just going to read you a couple of lines. We have been strengthened by the prayers, support, and love of the prayer chain, the prayer ministry team, the prayer ministry after the service, and the healing services. We give thanks to the Lord for his healing and feel his presence with every oncologist appointment. You've made a real difference for this woman who has been struggling like that. And I think we can also see the healing of relationships as well, because nothing is beyond the redemptive reach of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of utmost importance, we will be a place where our children, our young people, I'm not going to say hands up the young people, you guys, you are so important. You may not realize this. You are the future of the church. Yeah? You are the future of the church. And we are going to do our very best to make sure our precious children, our precious young people, grow up following Jesus, fearing God, and understanding right from wrong. Because they won't get a moral compass outside church, that is for sure. All I want is our kids to grow up just being able to stand in the face of the onslaught of all the rubbish they get on their phones and via the internet. And I know some of you parents are really good and your kids don't yet have phones and all that, but I'm afraid one day they will have a smartphone. Now, none of this is easy, but all of this is possible because God can do immeasurably more than we can ever think or imagine. Amen? So it's all possible, but it's going to be difficult. It's going to be challenging. But we can do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, there are some challenges. First of all, finance. We are blessed with such an incredible finance team and some really, you know, you give generously. And of course, you know, for those of you who don't kind of understand the church finances, everything you see, you pay for it all. We don't get any kind of central funding or, you know, stuff like that. The congregations pay to keep the show on the road. So your giving is terribly, terribly important to us. And I hope that by looking at the tube mat, you can see what's happening, what you are enabling by your generosity. But we do need to raise more funds. The funding for the families worker runs out at the end of the year. We would love to employ another families worker. We need some also to pay for some extra hours in the office from Easter onwards to help with the extra complexity in our operations. We'd also love to take on an intern as well. And all these things come at a cost. So do please think about it and give generously. If you're not giving yet, today's a great day to take a giving form at the back of church and filling it in. If you're already giving, perhaps think about whether you can, notwithstanding cost of living crises and stuff like that, whether perhaps you can just raise your giving a wee bit. And then there's helping. Can you help? I would say, there is a U-shaped place for you to serve somewhere in here. You know, we go through seasons when sometimes we're cash rich and time poor, and sometimes we're very cash poor and perhaps time rich. I don't know what season you're in, but do have a pray about serving somewhere. It's also, if you're new, a great way of meeting people. Remember that God is after our availability, not our ability. Okay? He just wants us to say, "Here I am, Lord. I'm happy to be used," because he will then bless us with the grace to fulfill that calling. But you know what? I think the biggest challenge we face is spiritual. In a world that wants to conform or shape the gospel around itself, as opposed to allowing itself to be shaped by the gospel, there is much opposition. And we have to remember, we are not called to be relevant, we are called to be true. And this means that we need to be brave. This means we need to take a stand. We need to stand up for what the gospel means to us, as well as being gentle and accepting that it means different things to other people. But as we do this, we will fly in the face of a polarized, entrenched, and more usually these days, fashionable opinion that rejoices in plurality. We see it the whole time. The church needs to get with the program. No, the program needs to get with the church, because we have the truth of Jesus Christ and his word. That is where the truth resides, not with some passing fad. Like the early church, we are called to be more of a resistance movement, standing against cancel culture and anything goes ideology. Because if we don't, we will become irrelevant. We will be nothing more than another self-help group. It's clear, it's writ large. If we go with society, we just become another self-help group. But together, standing together, we can make a difference. And we must be audacious. We must aim high and ask to give us this great big vision that would be impossible to fulfill without him. We must be tenacious, never giving up. You see how a river carves its way, cuts through rock, not because of its power, but because of its perseverance. Remember those lovely verses from Hebrews 12, 1-3. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, so you will not grow weary and lose heart. We must hang on in there. We must persevere. And we must enjoy this adventure together. Yeah, because it is an adventure. And as I look out, I see so many friends who've been with me on this crazy, sometimes white-knuckle ride adventure right from the very beginning. Look at Jerry and Elaine. You've been here. Paul, you arrived a little bit later. You know, it's been such the most incredible adventure. And there's more adventures to come. And it's exciting. And it can be great fun. It can also be quite tough as well. And we need to pray. That's why we do prayer and praise. We need to pray that we may be one so that the world will believe. That wonderful prayer of Jesus in Gethsemane in John 17. And finally, we must be generous. We must be prepared to give it all away. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. The Son of God loved us and gave himself for us. That's why we do it. Because Jesus loved us first. Are you all up for this? Fantastic. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be wonderful. And we're going to see new people coming to faith. And you know, the Iranians who've come to faith here, have you ever thought for a moment, it's been sad to see them all being spread to the four winds. But you know what? They're taking some DNA from BPC with them. They'll be landing in other churches all over the country. Hamid's gone to Cheltenham, and they'll be taking a little bit of BPC with them. Those guys will be part of our world changers. So listen, we're going to finish with a prayer now. And I want you to take your tube map. And I'm just going to take us on a little journey. And we're just going to pray for some of these things. Don't have time to pray for them all. And I want you just to be open in your hearts as we go around. If there's some area, if there's one of these stops that you're thinking, that's quite interesting. I wouldn't mind speaking to somebody to see if I can I can help in that. So let's head off. 3 o'clock, World Mission. Heavenly Father, as our fingers trace along that light blue line, we come to Bradford. We pray for John Bavington and our link with Bradford. We pray for open doors and all the work that our financial support enables them to do within this persecuted church. We pray for our mission partners in India and Iraq. And then going up at 2 o'clock, we pray for our prison ministry. We pray for Paul Burgess, who is still going into prisons. We pray for our community lunch. We pray for the center and the food bank. And then heading down to 6 o'clock, we pray for our service teams in our services, the hospitality, the welcome, the wardens, the servers, the sides people, the bell ringers, production, visual, sound, video, setup, social media, comms. And then going out at 8 o'clock, we pray for our PCC. Thank you, Lord, for a wonderfully united PCC that makes all the big decisions. We pray for our mission and outreach group. We give you thanks for the incredible finance and stewardship team we have, the environment team. And then we just leap over to 9 o'clock to our youth, our kids, the ARC, young adults, students. Bless those ministries, Lord. Bless the men's ministry, the women's fellowship, prayer ministry team, those who work in the office, our cleaner, caretaking, prayer and praise. And at top left, our courses, we pray for the Alpha courses, the marriage course starting next year, the bereavement course starting this term. Father, we thank you that it is you by your Spirit that empowers all these different activities. We lift them up to you, Lord. We pray they would bear fruit for your kingdom. We pray that if there's an area here where you think we might make a difference, that we could help, whether it's financially or in our time, that you would draw us to that. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.